Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us. A lot to discuss with the headlines. Todd Gurley is getting a big-time extension with the Rams. Brandon Cooks received one last week. Where does that leave Aaron Donald? We'll get into that. Le'Veon Bell and much more. But John starts, and I'm going to allow him to have the floor. And John, I'll let you tell the story, but you're not headed to West Virginia to cover the Texans for training camp.
Can't fly, can't drive, can't type.
What happened?
Going to the bathroom is an ordeal. So, nope, I'm staying here. First time I haven't been to training camp since 1977.
Take us back to the beginning.
My first one.
Take us back to the beginning. What happened?
So I was in Nashville hosting a Fight DMD fundraiser, which I've done now for 6 or 7 years. And Mike Vrabel joined John Robinson, who's done it with me the last 3 years. And my good friend Jim Caden is just about the most generous man I've ever met. We had it at one of his restaurants, Moto. And you guys know Terry and Sonia and their boys, because you guys are behind their foundation as well. So I did that, came back Monday morning. I was in the garage at our airport here, and the credit card machine, it ate my credit card and my ticket. So I did what it told me to do, which was call a number. I get a woman says, hang up and honk. So I hang up and honk and honk and honk. Don't get any reaction. So I'm starting to get irritated. Then I see an attendant in the distance, so I put the flashers on, get out, go to the left, go to the right, and as I start walking full speed, I'm about to yell out, hey, and I remember kicking a curb or a speed bump with my left toe, go flying, come down on my left shoulder, see my glasses, my cell phone, can't reach either one, side of my face is on the ground. And I had this awful pain in my shoulder, so I figured it was broken. And it's embarrassing, too, because one guy comes over and says, what happened? I said, I fell. I tripped, and I think I broke my shoulder. And he goes, oh, my goodness, it's the general. It's the general. How's Deshaun Watson going to do? Why did y'all leave T.O. out so long? That Astros, Rockets going to get Carmelo. Astros going to trade. And I'm laying there in agony, and these people come over, and I'm answering their questions. They're trying to help me, bring me water. They all worked there, and it took like 45 minutes for the paramedics to get there with the ambulance. And so I suffered 4 fractures of my left shoulder and a dislocation in my left shoulder, a fractured left big toe that's gone down into my foot. I'm wearing a boot for that. And I had to have the shoulder put in on Wednesday, got out on Friday. So the only thing I can do that I usually do is talk and type with one finger on my cell phone to respond to everybody who has reached out, because I tweeted, I think it's yesterday morning, I'm again camp on PUP and explain why.
John, were you wearing shoes? Did you have flip-flops?
Sure.
Or full shoes?
Of course I was wearing shoes.
So the force of you hitting that curb broke your toe?
Yeah, I must have been like running for a touchdown.
So you had some speed with that then, if you broke your toe on that.
I think it was just because I was angry at being in that situation for so long. Good news was, got my credit card back, got my sticker back. They kept my car for 2 days till my wife could get it, and they comped it.
Oh, well, very generous. Well, any cocktails involved along the way during this?
No, no cocktails. In fact, since I got out of the hospital Friday, I haven't had a pain pill. They kept telling me I was going to be in severe pain, but I haven't been. The doctor operated on my shoulder, supposed to be the best in the country, and I believe it, because I have not had pain other than when I like bumped into a door or something like that. But it could have been my head, so I'm very fortunate.
What is it like sleeping?
I sleep in a chair, and getting in and out of the chair is a pain. So I'm sleeping like 5 hours a night off and on, and nodding off during the day. Carol took me to the station today. I went in. I walked real slow because of the boot. Did the show for an hour and a half, and I've got to be in the morning at 7:30, so I'll do that again. I'm like a little kid has to be taken around. I'm really bummed because I love training camp. I know all you guys do, and as the fans and the team does, because, you know, it's time for optimism for everybody. And in West Virginia last year at the Greenbrier, where the Texans worked the first time, was magnificent, and I was really looking forward to that. And another drawback is I lose 2 weeks of Marriott.
I was just going to say, what about the Marriott points?
I've only got $3.5 million.
And you've got great friends up there that you were normally staying with in West Virginia, too. I know you.
Yeah, I do. Friends from Austin, bought a home on a mountain, spent time with them. And I was going to go to Canton on the day Robert Brazil gets inducted. And I'm going to do a story on Brazil, as I would have, but I'm going to be typing with one finger on my cell. So the bosses, I told them I'd get to start working about 7 days early.
You got to dictate. Then, you got to get somebody to transcribe for you.
Yeah, and then I will, I'll cover it from watching it on TV. So I'm really disappointed I can't be there with Robert Brazil and all the Oilers from the Love You Blue era and the party that Amy Adams Strunk is throwing for them.
Final thing on this, for, at least for me, can you describe the pain? What did that feel like when you fell on your arm?
Well, I've had knee surgery. I've had back surgery. I've had back surgery before I was immobilized like a salmon on the ground, and nothing will hurt like this did. And I was laying there thinking, man, I will never, ever question a player again when he gets a broken bone, because they go through it all the time. And so it was most severe pain I've ever had. I hope I don't have to experience it again. And now I'm told when I start the rehab, that's when the real pain sets in.
This is the first camp you'll miss since 77?
Yep, my first one was in 1977, Nacogdoches, Texas, with the Oilers. And so they have 2 weeks up there, then they come back here. So technically, if I can ever type, I can work. But what I'm worried about, I'll miss 2 preseason road games at Kansas City and the Rams. And I really hate missing the trip to L.A. And the other one is I might miss, they say it's a 6-week period. I'm worried that when they come back here, I won't be able to contribute much either. But, you know, the idea, it's like J.J. Watt. They're trying to make sure he's ready for the opener at New England. And so now that's 2 of us that got to be ready for that opener at New England.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. We need... I've just thought of this. It would be awesome if we could pair up a pedal tavern on like the Friday or maybe a Thursday. We could get McLean in early on the weekend that the Texans are in town. We could actually have the Nashville Pedal Tavern with John McLean.
I'm curious if John's in a hurry to get on a pedal tavern, considering his current state.
Well, a pedal tavern is safer than walking for John.
That's true. And his injury. I keep thinking, you know, they offer helmets on the pedal tavern and you can take one. And no one ever does it.
No one's ever taken
John would take
John
it.
John would
take
be the that. First one to take the helmet.
And he would wear catcher's gear.
I thought about today just wearing the helmet as a joke, like for pictures, just being the only one on the pedal tavern with the helmet. But no one ever takes it. But you do have the option on the Nashville pedal tavern for the helmet. But no
well,
one exercises
I would need
the
a helmet.
Option.
I've never needed a helmet. I could drink a lot of beer, that's for sure, if somebody else did the pedaling. By the way, I left out a good friend of mine, Rory Rowan. You guys know
yes,
Rory.
Great guy.
Who always treats me like a king when I'm in town. He plays a major role in all the fundraisers I do, and I want to give Rory a shout-out as well.
Well, and John, speaking of the Pedal Tavern, we're going to head over to Tin Roof Demumbrian at 2 o'clock to meet our group to go on the Pedal Tavern. There is a spot. There's 2 of them, I think, where you don't pedal. So you can almost be if you join us at the Pedal Tavern, we could almost carry you around downtown like you were a conquering king. coming back from war.
Like a pharaoh.
Like in the back of it, you can sit on a bench, and we just pedal and move you around town. How about that?
That kind of sounds like that movie Weekend at Bernie's.
It's not that. No, this would be more like you and the Monty Python skit where you'd be like, I'm not dead yet.
Bring out the dead. John Todd Gurley got paid, and this follows the extension that Brandon Cooks received out in L.A. What is Aaron Donald thinking with this?
Well, first of all, he's got to be upset. You know, he wants to be the first nine quarterback to make $20 million a year. It's pretty obvious they're not doing it. And I've always wondered, I understand ego, I understand agents wanting to get the most for their client. But sometimes, say if they're offering 18 and you want 20, you know, it's ego that makes you want that extra two. And he better be careful because based on the way they can franchise him, he could be till he's 31 years old before he could be a true free agent. And then Jared Goff is entering his third season. Another 2 years, he's going to have to get paid too. So you better get what you can while you can before the quarterback has to get paid. And then there's not as much going around. And Cooks and Gurley have done that.
$45 million guaranteed, by the way, the most ever for a running back. That's the new bar now, is the Gurley contract that the young running backs will be looking to. And I'm sure it's the contract that Le'Veon Bell's looking to, but he's not receiving that. He'll be elsewhere next season.
Well, everything I've read about Le'Veon Bell, he's turned down a whole lot of money. And he's taken a huge gamble that when he's unrestricted, there will be teams wanting to pay him that kind of money, even though he's missed 25% of the last two seasons. So I think, you know, again, if you're a running back and you get $14 million a year, $15 million a year, you better take it.
Well, think of it from this perspective. $45 million guaranteed for a running back. I mean, LeSean McCoy was the previously the highest vet running back at 18.3 guaranteed.
And Gurley, you can get running backs a lot of places. And yeah. if you play too hard of a, if you drive too hard of a bargain, they can call your bluff and you can regret it, especially the position that there's so much wear and tear.
615-737-1045, our number. We start with Bill up on line one. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, John, really enjoy your segment when you have it, and I pray you have a speedy recovery.
Thank you, Bill.
I was calling in today. I heard him talking this morning about Julio Jones and how he might hold out, and I was just wanting to get your take on it. You know, a lot of times the teams, you know, can cut players and so forth, and I know he has 3 years, but I just wanted your take on, you think it's reasonable or not that Julio Jones might, you know, sit out because he thinks that the contract is maybe undervalued now. Thank you.
It's easy to do that now because they don't get the big checks. They start when regular season begins. The Texans did this last year with Dwayne Brown, their left tackle. And their philosophy is they'll redo contracts with 1 year left. The only two they've ever done with more than that were J.J. Watt and Andre Johnson. And so Dwayne Brown had 2 years left. He held out. We thought for sure that he would report when the season began. He didn't. He lost $4.5 million in salary, was traded to Seattle for second and third round picks, still has not signed a new contract with Seattle. Had he stayed here, he could have had that extension by now. So it backfired. And Julio Jones has 3 years left. They don't want to redo it. When he got his last contract, he's one of the highest paid receivers in the league. Excuse me. And so I think they'll end up doing something for him, but not giving him an extension.
It's too soon.
Trace with a follow-up on Julio Jones. What's up, Trace?
Hey, guys. And John, God bless you. I hope you get better really quick.
Thank you, Trace. Thank you.
Hey, Bill kind of stole my thunder. The first part of my question was about how concerned the Falcons were about Julio's holdout, but I'll move on to my second part. How impressed are they with what they've seen from Calvin Ridley, their first-round draft pick from Alabama? And do you think they are actually a double-digit win team this year? Pro Football Focus says they're going to win the NFC South. Want to get your honest take on that. So God bless. Take care, okay?
Thank you, Trace. I think that's the best division in football, and any of the top three teams could win it. I think we all agree the Bucs will be last. There's no guarantee on anybody because of injuries. You know, they've got the best four quarterbacks, I think, in football for an entire division. But if Breeze, Ryan, either one of those guys goes down, Cam Newton, you know, you'd think they're done. And Jones, they know how he's working out. They know he knows the system. He can come in, step right in, and pick up where he left off. They've said all the right things about Calvin Ridley in the offseason program, but we're not going to know the regular season when he starts getting hit. You know, it's a tough transition from college football to the NFL for wide receivers for a number of reasons, but it would certainly help Ridley if Jones is there drawing all the double coverage.
It's also going to help Sanu. You know, Sanu had he caught like 70%. That was his catch ratio last season. I get in the ball more too.
Yeah.
Let's go to James next up for John McClain. Hey, James.
Yes, sir. Just a second.
All right, we'll come back to you. We go next to Joe. There you are, Joe. Joe. Hit line two. For some reason, I can't put it up. What's up, Joe?
Thanks, guys. Hey, John, I was just curious. It's a kind of a three-part question, but one, is one of the reasons T.O. not going to Canton is because he can't get anybody to fund his after party? And kind of the second and third one would be with the trading of Manziel from Hamilton to Montreal and T.O. having his rights released by the Eskimos, do you see T.O. going to the Canadian League to playing with Johnny Manziel?
I do not see T.O. playing in his CFL at 44 or whatever he is. Manziel played for June Jones in Hamilton. June has pursued him since Johnny was coming out of high school before he went to A&M, and his first coach at A&M was Mike Sherman, the Alouettes head coach. The difference is June Jones has got a really good quarterback in Jeremiah Masoli, and Mike Sherman has no quarterback. So they traded, I saw, two number one picks to get Manziel to be reunited with Sherman. It's a great opportunity because if you succeed in Montreal compared to Hamilton, it is so much better for the CFL. It's got more chance for endorsement money. So it's a great opportunity for Manziel. And I'm happy for him because based on everything we've seen and heard and read, is he's done exactly what they asked him to do. It was just his misfortune to go up there. And Masoli played really well after June Jones was hired midway through last season, and he's played even better this season. This is one of those deals that could work for both sides.
There's no NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer who's going to play in Canada.
No, of course not. And as far as T.O. not going, he played for so many generous owners like Jerry Jones and Eddie DeBartolo. I'm pretty sure that if he asked, I guess DeBartolo was still owning then, but I'm pretty sure if he asked one of his owners, Jeffrey Lurie, whoever, to pick up the tab for his party, it's probably about $100,000. I'm pretty sure one of them wouldn't do it.
Or maybe the three of them would have thrown in together.
He said that he's got protesting for all that. I can't remember what he said, and I don't care. I think it's going to be a great event without him, and I don't have a problem, as many do, with the Hall of Fame basically not making him part of the ceremony. He didn't want to be part of the ceremony. He's not going to be.
I do. I mean, I think you just put his bust up there. You read his, you know, introduction. You
have a video.
Unveil it. You have a video, and you move on to the next guy.
Let's go to Kelly next up. What's up, Kelly?
I was wondering what with the big moves that the Vikings did in the offseason and a relatively good draft that they had, do you feel like they've done enough to get a Super Bowl this year? And how is the team going to be affected with the death of Coach Sperano all of a sudden?
I think that that would be a rallying point. I remember the Patriots, when they won their first Super Bowl, they had a position coach die, I think, in training camp. and they Belichick coached that position. I think it was running backs, and they won. You know, the Vikings got a great defense. You don't have Mike Zimmer in and out because of his multiple eye operations, so that's good for him. The only problem is you've got a quarterback who's played one playoff game and lost, and he's never won a playoff game, so they're expecting him to go from nothing to a Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying it can't be done. It can be done. Maybe it will be. Getting Dalvin Cook back is tremendous for them. But Case Keeman worked a lot of magic last year, and they're asking Kirk Cousins to do the same. Maybe he can. I've got them as the I'm going to have them winning the division. A lot of people are having the Packers because Aaron Rodgers is back. But it's going to be a really, really tight, competitive, fun division.
They're deep at all the right spots, Minnesota.
They are.
Running. Yeah, and that Dalvin Cook is going to be a big
Dalvin Cook and addition. They have Latavius Murray, wide receiver. They're very deep. Defensive line in the secondary, they have numbers. Offensive line should be better.
Packers have a new defensive staff, right? That's a big change there in terms of Capers out and Patton in. And that to me is one of the most interesting storylines in that division. But those two teams going head-to-head, seeing what Detroit does under Patricia. And there's been a lot of interesting stuff written about Chicago already, which doesn't have the horses, but could be going a very good direction. I think that could be the second most interesting division in the league to the one that we all cover.
Detroit, with Matthew Stafford and their ability to come from behind in the fourth quarter, if the Lions ever develop a running game that is just decent, consistent, even if it's not great, the Lions can be right in there because they got a lot of talent, too. I thought it was interesting, Peter King in his Football Morning in America, or whatever he's calling it, for Pro Football Talk, and then Albert Breer, taking over Monday morning quarterback, both wrote about the Bears this week. Their leaves were all about Chicago.
The idea that Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Deshaun Watson are all going to pick up where they left off and all be outstanding, I think is maybe a little naive, given small sample sizes on everybody. I think it was Two-Tone Fanatic of somebody who listens to our show regularly and chimes in who put this idea in my head. But I do think the odds are that not all three of them have the miraculous seasons and join the ranks of Rodgers and Brady this year the way we expect. What do you think?
Well, I agree. First of all, if I had to pick one to do it, I would say Wentz, because he's entering his third year as a starter and he was playing at MVP level. Garoppolo doesn't have as good a team, I don't think, and this is if everybody's healthy, he was 5-0. I mean, he's not going to be undefeated. And Watson, the things that he accomplished, it'd be a miracle if he could pick right up where he left off. You know, 34 points average in six starts, 39 the last five, 40 points when the four games he played with Hopkins and Fuller, first quarterback, to get to 19 touchdowns quicker, beating Kurt Warner. I mean, everything he did was just incredible. Five touchdown passes against Kansas City, staked them to leads at New England and Seattle. Get late in the game in the last minute, the defense blew both games on miraculous drives by Brady and Wilson. So I just think that is a little much, but it can't help people from getting excited because fans in all three cities have such high expectations from the quarterbacks.
There's always a counter move, too, defensively, right? And whether teams facing the Texans have seen enough of Deshaun Watson to know that counter move, they've certainly been plotting for it, particularly if they see him in the first 4 weeks, say. And same with Wentz, looking back on when he was healthy, and same with Jimmy G and the winning streak. They have to endure the counter move, and it goes a long way towards telling us how good a guy's going to be long term. That's where Vince Young ran into troubles after having an offensive rookie of the year season. And then when there was pushback, he was not equipped to push back against the pushback. And it's a cat and mouse game.
And that's exactly right, Paul. But as you know, those offensive coaches know all that. So So they're trying to come up with wrinkles, nuances, things that they can use that the defenses haven't seen. When we were interviewing Mike Vrabel at the owners' meeting, I asked him about his familiarity with Watson, how much would it help, and he just leaned back and laughed. He said there's so much that kid did that wasn't by design, and you can't prepare for that. But he knows what his strengths and weaknesses are, and that's the key. Can you maximize the weakness and minimize the strength?
How do they, too? I mean, it's the universal question with the mobile quarterback now. Like, what's O'Brien's philosophy and what's the offensive staff's philosophy on how safe it is to let him roam and how much they want him in the pocket?
Well, they want him in the pocket as much as possible. People go back and Google Deshaun Watson, you'll see most of his best plays were all in the pocket. He had a great run against Cincinnati to win a game in primetime that wasn't designed. It was him getting run out of the pocket, but they've worked with him to stay in, slide left, slide right, and he has great pocket awareness, and that's something that can't be taught. It's just you're born with it, you develop it, and it's amazing watching his best plays, things that he just steps left or steps right to avoid and then throws the ball for a touchdown or a completion. And then you ask him about it, he doesn't even realize he did it until he sees the film, because that's what instincts are.
John McClain is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. Eric is on deck. John, give us your top five, or the five most, it's not really a top five, the five most intriguing training camps that are either underway currently or will be underway later this week across the league.
Well, first of all, there's topics. The topics are injuries and money. Those are going to dominate. How do all the injured players come back? The competition for NFL Comeback Player of the Year award, which is not anything anybody puts an emphasis on, but it is something we vote on after the season. Think about all the players that are candidates for that award. And then, of course, you know, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, do they come back? Earl Thomas, Julio Jones, that's going to be a tough
Taylor Lewan.
Yes, Taylor Lewan. But off the top of my head, John Gruden in Oakland. I think as time goes, that's going to get a whole lot more attention because he's been out so long. Nobody was real impressed with the moves they made, bringing in so many older players in the offseason. I think because of the controversy that began before the season ended, what happens in New England is going to be a storyline everybody's going to watch because of the controversy been generated for months now to see, will it affect the Patriots? I personally don't think it will. Another one is the quarterbacks, these rookie quarterbacks, who will step up first, who will be start first, who will be the best, who will come out of the pack. I'm guessing Sam Darnold is going to start first, and I think it'll be from the get-go. As far as who helps his team the most, I'm guessing Josh Rosen, because of having David Johnson back, having a veteran receiver like Larry Fitzgerald, who's been even better in his 30s than he was in his 20s. I think that, and that is not a great division. The fall of the Seattle Seahawks, all the moves they've made, people are looking for any reason they can to say they're still going to be good. John Schneider's the greatest general manager in football. Well, he's going to have a chance to show it. And the others, can Philadelphia repeat? But can Philadelphia win the division? Can Philadelphia repeat becoming the first team to win back-to-back Super Bowls since the Patriots in 2004?
Eric, the final caller of the hour for John McClain. Hey, Eric.
Hey, John. I hope you have a speedy recovery. I'm real sorry about what happened to you, but I hope you get well soon.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
Yeah. One quick thing about Le'Veon
Eric,
Bell.
You sound like you're in a tunnel or on speaker. You know better than speaker, right?
Oh, no. I'm not on speaker. I'm actually in the school building, so that's why it probably sounds like I'm in the tunnel. John, one quick thing about Le'Veon Bell, and I get to my question. I think the perfect situation is that Pittsburgh, with quarterback, receivers, and offensive line, he's going to be hard-pressed to find anywhere else to get a better situation than he is now. But my question, John, is this, and I ask you this every year, who is that one team in either conference you think is going to take a major step forward? That means it was like the Rams and may come out of nowhere and make the playoffs. And who is that one team you think that could take a major step back? Because the playoff team last year could take a precipitous fall. As always, good talk to you. Take care, John. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Eric. I think the Texans, but with 4-12, if Deshaun Watson stays healthy, because they had 20 players on IR, including 13 starters, have a chance to take a big step forward. I think Buffalo's going to go from the playoffs to being one of the worst teams in the league.
I'm with you on Buffalo. I'm out on Buffalo.
A lot of the media are picking the Chargers to be a big surprise.
If they didn't have to play 16 road games, I would agree. But they're not taking into consideration they have no home field advantage.
I like the Chargers. I read something very interesting. I wish I could remember where. The Chargers have zero people on staff in analytics.
Wow. Well, I'm sure
that makes me have a lot of doubt. That makes me have a lot of doubt in what Anthony Lynn's doing.
So Gruden has more analytical staff members than L.A.?
Well, maybe he also has zero.
Oh, okay.
But L.A. has zero.
Wow. John, thank you. Feel better. I know everyone's telling you that, but thank you so much for doing the show on the mend. And, we wish a speedy recovery for you.
Guys, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you on Friday.
All right. John McClain joins us twice a week right here on the Midday 180.